Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org. Or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Thank you so much for being here today to help us celebrate all things creating and to share our stories together. I say let's get ready to tune our imaginations. I want to talk about something that happened this week. This week, I had the chance to hear author Pauline Boss speak at St. Olaf. She's the author of one of my favorite nonfiction books called Ambiguous Loss. And when I first read this book, I remember feeling grateful that somebody had put into words a way to understand the unknowingness of the world. The concept of ambiguous loss helped me to feel comfortable with the idea of not knowing. I had been a girl who loved to find the answer, get the question right, and do the research to figure it all out. Then as I grew up, life got more complicated and some things didn't make sense. And one of the things I tried to make sense of was grieving and loss. Ambiguous loss is a loss with no resolution. The loss is unclear and may be physical or psychological, where there is incongruence between presence and absence. So think of soldiers missing in action, terrorism, natural disasters, divorce, immigration, adoption, or Alzheimer's, addiction, depression. All of these things fall into that category of ambiguous loss. And it differs from ordinary loss in that there is no verification of the death or no certainty that the person will come back or return to the way they used to be. In her new book, The Myth of Closure, Ambiguous Loss in a Time of Pandemic and Change, she writes, ambiguous loss is neither a disorder nor a syndrome, but simply a framework to help us understand the complexity and nuances of loss and how to live with it. And of course, we all experience loss in our lives. And she believes that over these past years during the pandemic, we've experienced a type of ambiguous loss. The trouble with our times now is that there's no cultural rituals for ambiguous loss. We haven't processed this pandemic experience, and this is important. We must come together to sort through this undefined experience, and we need to tell our stories. We need to make connections. We need to explore our stories through the arts. That's what I believe. And begin to define what we've lost, what's different, and what's ambiguous. That's the knowing that we need. And the arts might just be our pathway to healing. And that is really, I had a spark when I heard that. And so I'm really excited to be able to feature the arts every week on Art Zany Radio. And today we've got a giant show, so I cannot wait to get started. Today on Art Zany Radio, I'm going to be talking with Kristen Twitchell of the Northfield Fine Arts Booster Club. Welcome to Art Zany Radio.
Thank you so much. It's fun to be back.
It is fun to be back. It's been a while since I've seen you. And we're going to be talking about the John Prine tribute that's coming up this weekend. So we'll get into those details, as well as Charlie is here. Welcome to Art Zany Radio.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Charlie is Kristen's daughter. And then we also have Hannah joining us.
Thanks.
It's exciting to have you here. And they're going to be talking about all the arts that they're involved in. We were talking prior to the show, and I was just amazed. So these are great kids to talk about what arts means in their lives. And then in the second segment, we're going to talk with Daniel Van Tassel, and he's going to speak about his new book, Journey by the Book, A Guide to the Tales of Travel. So that's a great segment as well. So let's get started. Why don't you each introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about the arts that you're involved with and what you love about the arts. Charlie, you want to jump in and start?
I'm involved with a lot of theater and dances and a lot of choir stuff, but
And what grade are you in?
I'm in sixth grade.
And so how long have you been doing the arts?
Probably since I was young, because I've been doing dance since I was really young. And
She was the first Acting Fun for Little Ones class at the Paradise Center for the Arts. So that was a preschool class.
And so that you have been doing it your whole, you know a life not without the arts. Mm-hmm. What do you love about being involved in all those different activities?
I feel like it keeps me busy, and it's a good way to express myself besides just speaking how I normally speak.
So you can take on other characters or other mm-hmm. roles or dive into something that, you know, with paint or an instrument or you're bodying it through dance. That's really fabulous. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
Hannah, why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Hannah. I'm in seventh grade, and I'm in band, choir, jazz band, and extra choir, and theater, and dance.
So, wow. How do you have time?
That's basically the only thing I do.
And why is it that you pick that? What does it give you that you enjoy?
Kind of like Charlie, I can express myself through it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's an important thing. And of course, Kristen, you're here talking about NFAB, which is the Northfield Fine Arts Booster. There might be people that don't know what that organization is.
Yes, so NFAB, the Northfield Fine Arts Booster, we like to call it NFAB for short, is a local booster club. You think of your sports booster clubs that we actually raise money, and then we give that money back to Northfield Public Schools arts programs. So everything in the kind of the K-12 spectrum. So we just recently gave grants to one of the elementary schools to purchase some manipulatives for their STEM and art programs, kind of 3D art. We've given instruments to pursue cultural music, more cultural music. The jazz band, the high school jazz band is, I guess it's turning into an actual course. And so we're providing music charts for that, for the high school play that just wrapped up. We were able to provide funding for the costume rentals as well as busing and extra royalties so they could take that play on the road to the elementary schools. So it's, we try and hit all the different arts, whether they're the visual arts, the music arts, the, you know, that's why we say fine arts, so the theater arts. So we really want to encourage our teachers and those who are involved in the arts to write grants through the schools for those programs, for the public schools programs. But also, we just had Give to the Max Day. It's not too late, but also to support the Northfield Fine Arts Booster through giving. And then we are actually still recruiting some board members. So if any listeners out there have some time and are interested in supporting the arts, I've been on the other side of most of my nonprofit career, which was, you know, the fundraising. And it's nice to be in a place where we actually get to give some money away.
Yeah. And I think for a community to have a booster club that is promoting the arts is highly unusual. I don't know if you have done any work on that, but especially in a small town, you know, you often hear about the sports booster clubs. But this is a version that says, you know, cheers for all those kids who participate in the arts.
Yeah, and a lot of times I think that can be focused on the high school, and we really want to kind of spread the wealth. And so we've supported this a couple years ago, the middle school switched to having t-shirts because they realized that not everybody may have the same resources for buying the clothes, the white shirts, pants.
For performances.
So they all have matching t-shirts. And so we helped underwrite that. And then we're providing some scholarships for the middle school choirs to go to Beauty and the Beast. So again, that elementary, middle school, high school, trying to make sure that all of our kids are supported with the arts here in Northfield. And it's really great to be in a community where that's a priority.
I think that is a great story. And we'll get to the John Prine event here, which is a fundraiser. But I want to hear from the kids. So each of you have a few things coming up with the arts. And so let's start by talking, Charlie, a little bit about this theater experience that you're doing right now. Tell us what you're involved in.
I'm involved in Prairie Fire for the play Snow White. And
tell me about that experience. It's a really interesting program that exposes you to all aspects of theater in a very short period of time.
It's really fun, and it's sometimes a little bit stressful because you have to learn lines quickly, but it's mostly fun, and I just have a great time doing it.
It's a one-week program where professional theater artists come and help the students. What ages are the students in the program?
Anywhere, but like younger than high school, but I think the youngest Yeah, second to eighth grade, I think.
Okay, and so they by the end of the week, they do performances of mm-hmm. the play. And tell us about the play you're doing right now.
It's Snow White, and it's like the original, not the quite original story of Snow White. It has a bit twist because obviously, like, they can't do the original, but they have their own little twist of it, so it's much more fun for younger kids, and there's a lot more different groups, so it's not like there's multiple of the same characters.
So everybody who participates gets a spot to work on and be in the show. And I want to tell people that those performances is that tonight at mm-hmm. 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. and then Saturday at 1 p.m. And that's at the Northfield Middle School Auditorium. And it's open to the public. Mm-hmm. Tickets are super affordable, $5 for adults and $3 for students. What is your role in the production?
I'm mainly a townsperson, but for the beginning of the play, I'm the good queen / Snow White's mother, but I just have a song that I don't sing the song, but they sing it about me while I'm kind of in the spotlight, just almost acting out what they're saying.
So you're incorporating movement and all kinds of different things that you've learned from the arts. I think arts do so much for our kids in helping them work together, you know, build confidence, get that idea of being on stage and in front of people. I mean, there's numerous ways that the arts support the growth of our kids. It feels pretty incredible to be in it.
Yes.
Yeah. Hannah's mom was sharing that this is one of the first Prairie Fire she's not in because she's doing Newsies, but you've done a lot of Prairie Fire as well, correct?
What did you love about Prairie Fire?
That like, even if you're very young, like I did my first show, I don't remember how old I was, but you still get to go in it, and it's not like you audition, but you weren't good enough. Anyone who signs up gets to do it.
So you get to experience, and it's all aspects of putting together a show, the costumes and the lines and the movement and working together. And it sounds like, too, there's a little bit of imagination. You get to kind of help with the storytelling. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's pretty phenomenal. Tell us about the program you're in, Newsies, which I keep hearing these rumors about, that it's going to be incredible.
It's really fun. It's my first Purple Door show. And Newsies is basically about the Newsies strike of 1899.
Oh my goodness, that's a long time ago, yeah. So I can imagine you wouldn't remember.
And basically the Newsies are striking against, because the newspaper company raised their price and making them even more poor. It's really fun. There's a lot of dancing and singing and newspapers.
Which makes sense. I know it's one of my kids' favorite shows and productions, so to be able to have it come to Northfield. And this is you've had a long rehearsal time because it is such a big show. How many kids are in it?
I have no clue.
A lot from what I've heard, and that because there's a whole big cast of those Newsies doing the performance. And how have all your experiences in the arts allowed you to be able to take on a challenge like that?
Partly Prairie Fire, because I've done it since I was very young. And just kind of the musics, because a lot of the singing and musics will help you with theater. Being able to know what you're singing, sing it well, know the notes.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a great experience. We will probably have a show about that coming up. When does it open? Do you remember? I forgot the date.
January, early in January.
Okay, so what a great thing to do in the middle of winter is go see this big, beautiful show. Purple Door Theater is part of the Northfield Arts Guild, and they do phenomenal things. So congratulations on being in the show. Kristen, you've been in all aspects of the arts in this community. Someone may know you from the Paradise Center for the Arts, and now you're working with the Northfield Fine Arts Boosters. Do you see it in the experiences that you've had with performances and kids, just the richness and the depth of the talents and the things happening in our community that varies from other communities?
Definitely. I've had a unique experience. I've lived in a lot of different places and different states, and I think one of the things that has struck me for our kids who've all been involved in the arts choir for my high school boys. My older son is in very active in the visual arts as well as choir, but just the confidence mm-hmm. that I think our young people get and the friends they make. I'm sure both of these young people could tell us about these really cool friends and people they've met that maybe they wouldn't have interacted with. And I think that's another beauty of the arts is just it brings so many different people together. Mm-hmm. And I know that at the Paradise too, depending on the type of music we were doing or the theater show, but it just, I don't know, it's a great uniter, I guess, is what I think of when I think of the arts.
And that was one thing Pauline Voss was talking about in her presentation of Ambiguous Loss, was that part of what we need to start our healing is to come together to tell our stories. And arts is such a beautiful way to do that. And supporting the arts, you know, we need to have all kinds of people on all different levels, whether it's financial, just being an audience member, volunteering, being part of the crew, that whether that be on stage, off stage, backstage. So there's so many angles to that. So that takes some funds. And that's what NFAB is putting together, this John Prine tribute, which I have to say, I at first was like, John Prine, how are they going to do a tribute? But then you start looking into his music and you're like, what? So tell us.
Yes. Yeah, so tomorrow evening, there are 20 plus local musicians that include
Saturday night.
Sorry, it is Friday, right? I feel like I'm losing the days.
I just want to make sure people listening Saturday to the rebroadcast night. Yes. On Saturday know that it's on Saturday
yes,
night.
Yes, it's Saturday, November 19th, and it's 6 to 10 p.m. here at the Armory in downtown Northfield. And it's a donation only, suggested $10, but people, we want them to give what they can. And so they're doing the music of John Prine, who has been covered by some of the most famous artists of all time, Elvis, Johnny Cash, John Denver, Bonnie Raitt. I was surprised that the 10,000 Maniacs have covered him, Kelly Musgraves, for those people listening to more modern music. So it was fun. And then he's a really talented musician. He was in his own right, mm-hmm. too. And so getting to honor that storytelling, as we've talked about, which he was a phenomenal storyteller. And I think I think when I was reading, he did his first performance at 16. So he literally had 6 decades of music. And so I know for music lovers, he's a beloved legend in that kind of world. And so we're excited. Ray Coudray, who was on earlier, was promoting it. And I think we're going to hear one of his songs a little later in the show. But it's just so fun to have so many different ages of musicians coming together to perform these songs that people might be surprised. Oh, wait, I didn't know that was a John Prine song. Because we think of, oftentimes I think with songwriters, we think the person performing may have been the writer, and oftentimes that's not the case.
That's right.
When you have this huge songbook of John Prine's that they'll be choosing from and doing. So we've got multiple sets. We'll have an MC who's doing some lyrical trivia between those sets and just a whole bunch of different music spread out through the evening. So we're really excited. Hope that people will come out and enjoy some great local musicians doing great music.
And that, again, is at the Armory, which is right in downtown Northfield. And there are over 24 Northfield artists and musicians that are contributing. So it's going to be phenomenal. I picked a clip of John Prine singing in case people are not sure about his sound. So we'll just play a little bit of this. This is John Prine with Hello in There. And it is his song. This was live from sessions at West 54th Street. It gives you a little taste of his sound. Not all his songs are like this, but this one, I just thought his voice is so beautiful, and I wanted people to know who he is. So we'll play a little bit of Hello in There.
Apartment in the city, and me and Loretta like living there. Well, it's been years
since the kids have grown a life of their own and left us alone. John and Linda live in Omaha, and Joe is somewhere on the road. And we lost Davy in the Korean War, and I still don't know what for. It don't matter anymore. You know that old trees just grow stronger, and old rivers grow wilder every day. Old people just grow lonesome, waiting for someone to say hello in there, hello.
And that is the beautiful John Prine, Hello in There. And he is just a treasure. And I learned, I guess, that sadly he passed away from COVID, which was, very early on in our pandemic experience. And what a loss for the whole world to not have his music in our you know, world. But this is the kind of thing that can bring that back and bring the sounds of music to us, and we can gather together. I think that's an important part of it. We were talking about the one of the things that, you know, the Northfield Fine Arts Boosters promotes all the different school things, but sometimes if you're not in that school world, it's hard to figure out what's happening. So tell us how people can connect with what's going on in the arts in our school system.
Yeah, so one of the places...
Oh, sorry, Kristen. Okay.
Okay. So a lot of times the district calendar has those shows posted, but we also try and put them up on the NFAB Facebook page. So we invite you to like our Northfield Fine Arts Booster Facebook page, because you can then see those listing of shows. And it's just really fun, whether you're going to that elementary school band concert and seeing those, you know, new kids learning to play, and the new, you know, young choir kids, as well as, you know, then our middle schoolers, we were just talking, they're going to be singing at Winter Walk, and which is always fun, along with all those concerts coming up. And then we have some of those really, they're traditions concert for the high school choir, and then the band concerts that are such a huge part of those kids and what they've worked for all fall to get ready for. So we post those shows on our Facebook page and invite people to go there and visit. And if you come to John Prine, again, all those proceeds are supporting that booster club and our ability to fund some of these programs.
I just noticed the sun is shining in and spotlighting all of you. Sorry, it gets really bright. That doesn't usually happen. There's like just a couple times a year where that happens. So you guys are getting the spotlight on you. So did you want to talk about that were you a part of the choir concert coming up, Hannah? Tell us a little bit about the songs that you're preparing and what work you're doing to get ready for Winter Walk, which is, if you can believe it, folks, is just... I don't even want to say it, how soon it's happening. It's December 8th. I think it's Tuesday. Is that right? I forgot to pull up the date on that.
We have Carol of the Bells, What Christmas Means to Me, Winter Dream, and Song for the Unsung Hero.
It really creates a great atmosphere when you have... and now we're going to have snow, it looks like. It doesn't look like it's going to get warmer to melt at all. So it'll be a nice, really pretty evening downtown. And all the candlelit sidewalks and hopefully a few campfires. You got to grab the date.
Yeah, it's Thursday, December 8th. And then do the sixth graders, they sing as well, right,
yeah,
Charlie?
They sing.
And tell me what you're excited about for that. What are you singing?
I forgot some of the names of the songs because... It's been a couple of days since I've had choir.
But, well, that can happen. Yeah, but it's always going to be great classic Christmas music that you can, you know, just kind of get back into the spirit. And maybe this is a year that we need that even more.
Yes. And I think one thing that I really appreciate about Northfield and the schools and the kind of music they do is that they really try and honor, it's, you know, the different holidays and celebrate some of that different cultural music as part of those shows. So that oftentimes during this season, we get that too, which I appreciate.
Exactly. And that is what makes it so incredible. So folks should definitely support the Northfield Fine Arts Booster Club. As you mentioned, there was a Give to the Max a Day. Folks, if they go to your Facebook page, it's still not too late to contribute.
It is definitely not too late to contribute. And we actually take donations year round. Just Give to the Max is kind of our big thing. And then you can also check out more information on NorthfieldFab.org. So we have a website as well as a Facebook page.
Wonderful. Make sure and give that to folks and let them participate and support the arts, because it really matters. You aren't going to have these great shows, you know, people get older for all of the adults if you don't have the kids who are enthusiastic and supporting it. And there's so much more to the arts than it teaches so much about working together and being on stage and how to tell our stories.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I get a little choked up because I really think for my kids moving into the community new, it was really their experience in choir and the arts that gave them the friendships that they have. And so I'm really thankful for that. As a parent.
Exactly. Is there anything else Hannah and Charlie want to add to help people remember how important the arts are in our community?
I think so.
That's wonderful. It's okay. I know it's hard sometimes. And go see Newsies. Go see the Snow White. Wrong story. with the Prairie Fire Theater, which is tonight at 7 at the middle school. And then on Saturday at 1 at the middle school.
There's a Northfield Dance Academy Nightmare Before Christmas performing at Winter Walk.
Okay. So
you can find out the date somewhere.
They have their website, NDA.
Yeah, NDA website. It's a Winter Walk day. I think it's Thursday.
Yeah.
Fabulous. And I really enjoyed getting to know you, and I hope I get to see you in many more performances. And we'll see you at the great Northfield Event Center, the Armory Square Event Center, on Saturday at 5:45. Doors open, 6:15 music starts. Donations taken at the door, $10 suggested, but of course you can always be generous.
Absolutely.
And give more. We're going to play a little bit of this Ray Coudre, Speed of Sound of Loneliness, a John Prine song, and this is his tribute as we switch out the studios and move to the second segment with Dan Van Tassel. Thank you, Kristen, Charlie, and Hannah for being with me today on Art Zany Radio.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to move on.
Come home late and you come home early. You come home big when you're feeling small. You come home straight and you come home curly. Sometimes you don't come home at all. What in the world? What in heaven's name have you done? You've broken the speed of the sound of loneliness. You're out there running just to be on the run. I got a heart that burns with fever. I got worried and a jealous mind. How can a love that lasts forever get left so far behind? So what in the world's come over you?
What in heaven's name had he done? Broken the speed of the sound of loneliness. And out there running just to be on the run. Mighty mean and a dreadful sorrow. Pass the evil line today. How can you ask about tomorrow? We ain't got one word to say. What in the world's come over you? What in heaven's name have you done? Broken the speed of the sound of loneliness. You're out there running just to be on the run. You're out there running just to be on the run.
And folks, that's the fabulous Ray Coudray, who produces so many great events in our community. His tribute to John Prine called The Speed of the Sound of Loneliness. And I hope you'll take a listen to the whole thing. And I think it's so beautiful. And in the piece that he has posted, he has this fabulous line: in case you're wondering why you can't find the words for what you're feeling, it's because John Prine already wrote them all down. Which is really wonderful. And it just cut out on me, so I didn't catch the last of it there. Let me grab it, because I know I pulled it up in my there we go. Wrote them all. This is the important part, so I need to start again. In case you're wondering why you can't find the words for what you're feeling, it's because John Prine already wrote them all down in perfect order. That's the good ending you need to see. Because
that was well timed.
Yeah, exactly. So we're jumping to our next segment, and Daniel Van Tassel is here. He's the author of Back to Barren, as well as Journey by the Book, A Guide to Tales of Travel. And it is a really beautiful book. But I thought I'd first have you introduce a little for our listeners who may not know you or haven't had a chance to meet you before. Tell us about your background and what brought you to Journey by the Book.
Yeah, well, whenever you read, you kind of depart from where you are and join the author in his or her place and time. And so you pick up a novel, and obviously the setting is important. But when the setting has a journey, like a voyage or a pilgrimage or something, and the journey is important for the meaning and structure of the work, and it becomes the foreground and not the background. Well, I discovered that, I mean, whether it was Canterbury Tales or something more modern, that journeys are really a good part of almost all reading. But there are some things, like from Homer's Odyssey to Bill Bryson's Walk in the Woods, where the journey is it. And most of those authors have, and they even speak to it, the idea that it's not arriving, it's going on the trip. It's, in fact, the best kind of traveling for any of us, whether it's vicarious or real, is not to be so dead set on getting somewhere so that you lose out on the enjoyment of traveling, of journeying. And so anyway, over the years, as I've taught English literature and writing, there have been a lot of works where the setting is important, but increasingly I was aware that there were distinct journeys, and where the journey really is important for the meaning and structure, and the narrator is one who establishes a real great rapport with the reader. Those are the ones that you want to, you know, really settle on. So this book cites over 100 travelogues, but 20 chapters are devoted to 24 books, which are really superb. And that's what got me going. And I've been working on this for quite a long time, actually. But when we moved to Northfield in about 9 years ago, I kind of put more time on it, and it was published in July, I believe it was, this past July.
So it's a fairly new book. And
yeah.
I think that's really, you know, if you think about the experiences of the pandemic, and one of the things we were not able to do was to travel.
There you hit something, yeah. And you could get online and get a work, or go to someplace like Content or the library over here and get a good book that would allow you to feel pretty much as if you are on the road, or you're on a cruise, or what have you. And you're right. A lot of people turned to reading things to get out of the claustrophobic kind of atmosphere.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you've traveled to many of these places that you mentioned. So I'm
yes.
kind of curious, what kind of a traveler are you, and why is it that you're so drawn to this idea?
Yeah. Well, early on, I mean, Sinbad the Sailor, I mean, a lot of little tales, you know, when you're a kid. But then my brother and I would take along with my folks when they went to Denver, and we went up Pike's Peak and stopped every so many hairpin curves for Dad to refill the radiator of his 47 Chevrolet, and maybe take pictures with Mom's Brownie camera. But it went on, and then obviously through college and afterwards, alone and with others, colleagues and family members and so forth, I've traveled by rail, by road, by whatever. And when I was teaching in various colleges, I started a course I called Literary Haunts of the British Isles, and take about 30 students, and we'd go over in January and go Ireland, Scotland, England, of course, and so on. And then later, when I was dean, I was always teaching while I was a dean at Muskingum College. I developed with others exchange programs for faculty and students, where we just swap places. And it was a really inexpensive way for either faculty or students to be away for a semester or a year, and then for the home campus to have somebody replace them from somewhere else. So it doubled the effect, really, and so on. And so I would go out with others, and we would look at different places for feasibility of a campus exchange. And so from the East, Hong Kong, to Canada, to Puerto Rico, wherever. So I did a lot of traveling then. Then I taught in London for a while. Our daughter began infant primary school there in London. We had a flat, and students had homestays with people in around Greater London. And that was really interesting, because when we came back, we kind of had to readjust to a different life. We were so used to not the mega grocery store, but, you know, the markets and that kind of thing. But traveling, and then when we were first married, I guess after second year, we went off to Europe, Rhoda and I, and we used Frommer's Europe on Five. Of course, $5.
$5
now
a day.
Wouldn't get you anywhere now. But we managed to do it for less than $5. Now, these weren't fancy hotels we stayed at, you know. But anyway, so traveling and reading travel books has been a big part of my life. Yep.
And that makes you a great, you know, guide to these
books.
There you
go. I see myself as a guide, not because I've been to those places necessarily, but also because I've read and reread and studied and analyzed and talked with students about these works, so that I feel like I can help inspire and relate.
We should give people an idea of, you know, the different works that you've selected, because I think as I look at the list, a lot of them are ones that I have said, someday I'm going to read that.
That's interesting, because in the reviews that I get, people will acknowledge that, well, I read Steinbeck's Travels with Charlie, but I didn't connect with it. But now after I've read these things here in this chapter, I'm going to see what he did as he, you know, dug into American soil with a travelogue and his pen, not a spade. Of course, he took his dog and off he went. But there's just a flood of different places. Twain, I look at two of his books, Innocence Abroad and A Tramp Abroad, two very different books. They both go to the Holy Land and parts of Europe. And the first one is more of a pilgrimage and so forth. And Twain isn't always serious anyway. But in A Tramp Abroad, crazy. Even the title, it sounds like they're going to tramp a lot. But usually they tried to take a shortcut with a carriage or a train or something like that. And that's really full of a lot of humor, the whole book. He learns that the best and easiest way to scale a mountain is just take a telescope and see it there, and then you don't have to do all the mess with, organizing stuff and so on. But then also coming down, when they did go on a trip, he experimented a little bit, and then he discovered that you can't really take a glacier down. It's going to take too many hundreds of years to get to the bottom.
Yeah, but maybe funny less
book.
Now.
But you and I were talking earlier about Bill Bryson's A Walk in the Woods.
Which I love that book.
Yeah, and he goes off with his Sancho Panza, an old friend of his who's kind of a slacker, and they go off. And one foot after the next, they're trying to go from Georgia up to Maine on the Appalachian Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And many readers also say, well, you know, I think I'd like to go on the Appalachian Trail now that Bryson and Ala Van Tassel have guided me, you know, in a kind of a precursor to the.
I think I'd rather read about it.
You know, there's a lot of people, I'm in the book, in the group too, who like to read books about books and to have a guide or somebody else talk to them about it. And then they go back to that book and say, it's going to work better.
I'm going to have you square up with the mic a little bit because we're...
okay.
There you go. Perfect.
All right. There we go.
Yeah. Yeah, because there are... times when, you know, I don't know that I could actually take on something like that, right? And so it's a good way to enter that world experience it through vicariously through that person. And there's a lot of people who like that kind of armchair travel.
Exactly. Yes, that's the term, armchair travelers. Exactly. Well, I mean, you're comfortable in a chair. You get the natural light or a good lamp, and there you don't have to move a foot, even. Just a book in hand, and off you go. The mind is a wonderful thing in the imagination, because all it does is, you know, it signals, like whether it's a song like you were playing or whatever, it's great. I think the people that are included here, well, like Paul Theroux, the author of the popular novel Mosquito Coast, in a great railway bazaar, he goes to the Orient, and he looks out the train windows, and that's his canvas. He's painting the scene, and he says, I chose trains, I met passengers. And that's the whole trick of it, too. We meet a lot of different people through these trips that people take, not just sights. I mean, it's obviously nice to... And animals... I mean, Ted Simon in Jupiter's Travels takes a marathon on a motorcycle. He goes 65,000 miles, 4 years he logs, and en route he runs he runs across animals of all kinds. In fact, he says here, my first view of wild elephants encapsulates the thrill of visiting Africa. And the passage that he talks is, I say it rivals the writing of noted naturalists. He observes, there were 10 of them about 300 yards away, gathered close together under a tree. They were nuzzled up to each other, wonderfully satisfying shapes, smooth and solid, superimposed in a cluster of curves, all the more alive for being so utterly still. And he points out that the elephants he's looking at are brown, not naturally gray. Of course, that's because they were dusting themselves.
Sure.
Anyway, he goes on, but he regards the scene as emblematic of Africa, and as an he goes on, the piece ends with a single exclamatory, all-encompassing word. You guessed it, Africa. Just by seeing those animals, or let's say the trip by Robin Davidson in the south part of Australia across the deserts.
Oh, sure.
She's going with camels, and the camels, she treats them as if they are family members. When they try to get away from her and she stops them, they kind of feel embarrassed and look at the ground or else at their... She's looking at their eyelashes, but she treats them like family members, and the whole thing is like a peaceable march of the kingdom, you know, of animals. But so you meet people and animals and places and so forth, all from the comfort, like you said, of your own chair, your easy chair.
Right, and traveling can teach us so much about the world and change the way we feel about the world, or, you know,
that's it.
Help us understand what we, you know, hopefully we open our minds enough so that we can understand a little better other parts of the world and recognize what we don't know.
You're paraphrasing Twain. He said the best way to lose a prejudice is to read about other lands and people.
He said it much better.
Well, no, he didn't. He just said it in his own words there. But
yeah, and I want to talk about the organization of the book for somebody who's thinking about picking it up, and, you know, maybe using this to help guide them to what might be a good book for them. Because I think it's really fascinating how you structured it. So how would you like people to use the book?
Well, okay. Of course, the introduction is a kind of a set piece. It's called Exploring in the Kingdom of Travel Literature. But like Back to Barren, it's written like in self-contained essays. So it doesn't matter. This is not chronological, the Back to Barren either. So you can drop in on Scout Camp or Bible Camp or Christmas or what have you, and same with Journey by the Book. Now, at the end, in the end matter of the book, I give a kind of a précis or a little summary of each of the chapters, and a person could go there as a mini guide and say, well, no, that's something I want to read, or maybe it's something you've read before and you want to skip it, or maybe you want to look at it again. But so I think a lot of it is up to you as to how you want to set your itinerary, right? I mean, so I've included that, and that's kind of makes it a reference book as well. But it's not organized chronologically or by themes or whatever. I mean, the travels are varied. Sometimes your sea legs are going to be tested. Other times it's you're tramping along with somebody on a field trip or what have you. So I encourage really a person to zigzag through the book. On the other hand, many people feel like they should read a book from page one to the end, and that's fine because you will get the variety as you move along. And some people are great at skimming, and And maybe it's the idea to just get an overview and then you'll go back later. And when you find something you want to dig down into, fine, whatever. But the first part kind of gives you different versions of travel literature, guidebooks. Guidebooks are usually, well, they tell you what to take along, how to pack, you know, what you can expect, how much it'll cost, and so forth. I do look at guidebooks. I look at different kinds of travelogues, but I'm looking for those in which the journey is central and the narrator becomes a close companion with the traveler, because we depend on that guide. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm the guide behind all of these, but the success of the descriptive journey is owing to the person who traveled and put it in words so that we can do it vicariously.
Right, yep. And that's what makes this book so fascinating.
Exactly, yeah.
And what we do want to mention before we wrap up, that you do have a class coming up at the Cannon Valley Elder Collegium, CVEC as it's also known, uh-huh. And that is called Tales of Travel, and that starts in January, so there's an opportunity to register for that. Some of those classes fill pretty fast, though, so when registration opens?
CVEC.org, they can just get in on that. The classes begin the second week of January. My class is on Monday, the 9th of January it starts, and it's 2 hours, 9:30 to 11:30. Now, tuition has been for 22 years, $50.
Wow.
So it's a real bargain. There's no exams or papers. Everybody loves to just read and talk. And, of course, the last few years I've had to do my courses with Zoom, you know, mm-hmm. And so we do get face shots of each other. But I like to walk around in the classroom, and in-person classes are back now, fortunately.
That's exciting. 'Cause they meet,
mine will be meeting at VOC.
What is VOC?
Valley of the Cannon, is it?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think that we so often use initials.
Yes, exactly. But you can find all that at CVEC.org.
That's right. All the info is right there. And I think registration begins, maybe it's begun. I know it's about mid-December that they start getting.
So folks can check that out. And then,
by mid-December, they have complete lists. So I would think it would be within a week that all the information be there. But there's preliminary information now.
That's fabulous.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah, I look forward to traveling with others.
I feel like this could be the beginning of our conversation, because we could go into any one of those books and, you know, get a little deeper into the story of, you know, why each one resonates. And maybe I'll pick one of those that I've been thinking, gosh, I've always wanted to read it, and come back and we'll read it and
Excellent.
Talk about it.
Now, in the Tales of Travel course, and I've done that before at Cal State, San Marcos, or other places, we're going to look at 7 journeys. So, you know, there's a lot more, but on the other hand, it gets us a start, you know. It's our first itinerary. Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah,
well,
that
folks,
sounds good.
This has been exciting. I want to thank Daniel Van Tassel. The book is Journey by the Book, A Guide to Tales of Travel, and I expect we'll be chatting some more. So,
very good, Paula.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
All
folks,
right.
This is Art Zaney, Radio for the Imagination. Our time is up for today, so I do hope that you will continue to take journeys and you know, explore the world. There's a lot out there for you. And in the meantime, of course, until next time, I hope that you don't forget to add some Art Zaney to your life and enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zaney, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zaney is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. The Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-332-7372.